Sultan Musa of Mali said, when you speak this special language, the world obeys your commands every time, all the time. And it's simply a matter of understanding this language and changing the way you're speaking it. And you will see the world change, how it reacts to you, what it brings you.
Welcome to Your Intended Message, the perfect place for leaders and promising professionals who want to convey the intended message for greater success. Every week, we interview experts who address the challenges and best practices to deliver your message effectively. That might be one-to-one, one-to-few, or one-to-many. And perhaps the most important conversation, one-to-self. I'm your host, George Torok.
My guest today is Jeff Buhner. Here's three facts that I think you should know about Jeff. One, he's the author of the number one best-selling book, The Sultan's Seven Secrets. Two, he started out as a struggling concrete contractor who didn't like talking to people. And three, within a year of learning the secrets, he had a new $20 million company that came to him from that magical place called out there somewhere. Jeff Buhner, welcome to Your Intended Message.
George, thank you for having me on. I've been looking forward to this conversation for weeks now.
Delighted. That makes two of us that are eager to have this conversation. I think there's going to be some exciting new ideas and inspiration that listeners will get from this conversation today. The Sultan's Seven Secrets is the book that you wrote. Clearly, I'm guessing you're not a sultan. So where did those secrets come from?
Right. So I came across the writings of Sultan Musa of Mali about 30 years ago, and the principles in his writings changed my life drastically. He lived in the 1300s and was the wealthiest man who has ever walked the earth. So I was interested, as soon as I found that out, to hear what he had to say, because I was struggling financially at the time.
And we don't want to make Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos jealous here. And I'm guessing wealth, even in today's terms, or how does that compare?
Yes, even in today's terms, I'm going to give you a taste for this guy's wealth. He was richer than Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos combined. Now, the way they tally his wealth or know what he was worth is because he had gold and salt, tons of both. And so they could take the value of gold, times it by today's value of gold, or the amount of gold he had, and come up with a net worth for him. And it's huge. I mean, this guy was very, very wealthy clear back then in West Africa.
All right. So I'm curious, how did he get all this gold?
Well, it's a great story because he didn't start out wealthy. In fact, his father died when he was a very young man, and that plunged him and his mother into unbelievable poverty, the kind where he had to steal food just to stay alive. And there were many days where he didn't have even one meal. So if you think you're poor and you're out there listening to this, you're not as poor as him. And I'm going to tell you kind of what happened to him that changed everything. And then when I read his story and read his second parchment, he wrote just tons of stuff. But when I read that second parchment, I applied the principles and my life changed so drastically. And that's why I love the name of your show, Your Intended Message. We're going to get into a special language that each of us is speaking right now. You're speaking it right now. It has nothing to do with the words that come out of your mouth. But Sultan Musa of Mali said, when you speak this special language, The world obeys your commands every time, all the time. And it's simply a matter of understanding this language and changing the way you're speaking it. And you will see the world change, how it reacts to you, what it brings you. Now, earlier you said something that we talked about, which was everything you want, more wealth, better health, better level of fitness, the right sweetheart and the right people in your life, they already exist in that magical place called out there somewhere. And you have a part of you that already knows where that perfect business partner is, where that new multi-million dollar business idea is. It already knows where your perfect sweetheart is, who they are. And if you're already in a relationship, it knows exactly how to fix it, make it perfect, and make it fulfilling for both of you. But it will not share that information with you unless you're speaking this special language in a way that attracts it. So we're going to jump into that because that's the intended message. And right now, you are sending a message to the world and you're getting back exactly what you're saying in this language. So if there's anything in your life that you're not happy with, you need to change your intended message. If you're ready, let's go back to the story of Sultan Musa of Mali.
You've got us. You've teased us relentlessly here. Tell us this language because I want to learn it real quick.
First, I'm going to tell you where this came from because he didn't make up any of these seven principles, and either did I. At the age of 12, remember, he was a little junior thief, and he started getting good at it. He had to steal food from merchants and farmers to stay alive. And it turned into something of a talent for young Musa. At the age of 12, he fell in with an older thief, and the two of them pulled off a major heist. But instead of the older thief sharing the wealth with Musa, he tried to murder him. And he buried him, sealed him in a cave, and left him to die, which he did. After several days, no food, no water, Musa perished, and he had what we call a near-death experience. And he wrote extensively about this. He said that he met a being, a man, made of light and love, who taught him all kinds of unbelievable things. He taught him how the world works, how humans are put together, how we think and feel, and how it all works to provide this experience that we call life, and why we're going through it, what we get out of it. The first thing he learned is that he had two bodies, not one. So what happened at his death, and yours too, and everybody else's, is that his spirit body, which is a very real body. In fact, it is the most real. It has the force of life in it. And it's in and around this physical body, the part of us we think of as us. And at death, that spirit body pops out of the physical body and keeps going, keeps living as though nothing has changed. Now, this happened to me at the age of 18. I died in a rodeo and popped out of my body. My physical body was like over there, but I was still very much alive, still very much concerned about what was going to happen to me now, what would happen to my mom when she found out, because she hated rodeo, hated that I did it, and now I'd been killed in one, just like she predicted might happen. So, but then I came back into my body because I wasn't as injured as bad as I thought I was when I popped out. Now, that's a conversation for another time. So I could relate to this story of Sultan Musa of Mali and this near-death experience. But here's another thing he learned. His spirit body, and yours too, is a literal child of two godly parents. It's a child of God, literally. And it's immortal. It never dies. The next thing he learned is that not only did he have two bodies, but he had two minds working simultaneously. So there's the conscious mind. That's the part of us that we think of as us again. But then there's something called what he called the veiled mind, the hidden mind. But we can relate to this because we've all kind of been made aware of this concept of a subconscious mind. So if I use those two terms interchangeably, you'll understand the veiled mind and the subconscious mind. And he said the veiled mind is the mechanism that really controls and steers your life. It determines what you get out of life, what your personality is, where you're headed, what you experience, how much money you're going to have, how many friends you're going to have, how energetic and vibrant you're going to be, or if you're going to be like really tired all the time and sickly. It determines all of this. Now, it makes all these important decisions about your life based on one criteria, and that is what it believes is true for you. Or in other words, what role you're playing, what it believes your role is. Now, this is the part that really struck me. All of us are simply playing a role that we're dedicated to. We get into character and we stay in character. So if you think of the conscious mind as an actor and the subconscious mind as a really good stage manager, that's what you're dealing with. Now, the stage manager is going to set the stage of your life. Cars, houses, friends, money, career, all of it's going to set the stage of your life with everything that it believes to be congruent with the role you're playing. And it will pretty much keep everything off the stage that isn't congruent with that role. Now, why it's so important to be dedicated to a role, I'm going to leave for later. Hopefully you'll download my free book. I'm giving it away for free and you can read that part. But I want to get into this idea of your intended message, that you speak in this special language that Musa called the language of the gods. And again, he said, whatever you speak in this language, the world will obey your commands. And it has everything to do with this veiled mind. The language of the gods is actually the language that is constantly taking place, the communication between the conscious and the subconscious mind. So remember, I said, whatever the subconscious mind believes to be true about the role you're playing, it's going to make true in your physical realm. So this brings us to an obvious question. Who's telling it what to believe? Answer, you are. You have been telling it since childhood, and you're telling it right now, but not in the language of words, in the language of feelings. Feelings is the language of the gods. Now, don't gloss over this. Don't speed past it. This is everything. Whatever you say in the language of feelings, your subconscious mind believes it. It believes all of your feelings all the time, every time, and it never doubts them. And whatever your predominant feelings are about any aspect of life, your subconscious mind is going to make it true in your physical realm. Now, this is easy to see in other people. People who believe that they're supposed to be poor, and I'm talking about on a deep core subconscious level, not consciously. Nobody wants to be poor consciously. But you know people who just seem to feel poor. They believe they're poor and they can't get rich. And they talk like, yeah, everybody else gets these great ideas, but I never do. Well, you don't hear wealthy people talking like that. They're like, oh no, great ideas seem to just come to me. I have a real knack for business. I mean, so you can see it and hear it in the way people think and talk. But that's all coming from a subconscious set of beliefs. So let's say you are poor and you don't like that and you want to change it. All you have to do is get your veiled mind to believe that you're supposed to be wealthy. Well, how do you do that? If you've been poor your whole life and you've never been able to break into the big money or even comfortable money, how do you get your subconscious mind to believe that you're supposed to have a lot of money? And remember, ideas for making money, they're out there all over the place. They're coming to other people. They can come to you, but how do you get them to come to you? All right. Your subconscious mind is connected to all wisdom, all knowledge. It's even connected to God, and it's connected to other people's subconscious minds. I don't know how much of this to bring in here, but if you've known anybody who has had an experience with psychedelic drugs, mushrooms in particular, they will tell you that everything in the universe is connected. You're connected to everybody else. You're connected to everything. And this is important because, again, your subconscious mind already knows about that $20 million business idea. It knows about the business partner you should hook up with. He or she has half of a great business. You've got the other half. But it's only going to share it with you if it believes that it will keep your life congruent with your role. But again, your predominant feelings are determining your role. So all that just to come back to say, you have to change the way you feel about any aspect of life to change that aspect of your life in the physical realm. So let me ask you a question. How do you feel when you think about your career or your finances or your marriage or your relationship? How do you feel about how other people treat you? How do you feel? And I'm talking about like in your gut when you think about socializing, going to a party. How do you feel about your health and your level of fitness? When you think about these aspects of your life, whatever you feel, good or bad, is what your subconscious mind believes about you. And it will send you the feelings instantly. There's no hesitation. Now, I know at this point, a lot of people would say, wait a minute, Jeff, George, what are you guys talking about? You know, it's the other way around. My life is what it is. So that's how I feel about it. No, it's the opposite. The way you feel about it is the way it's going to be. Now, if you're honest and you think back to when you were maybe a young man, 14, 15, 17, and you're really thinking about relationships now, and what kind of a relationship am I going to have with my wife or my husband, you know, and you start thinking about that, you have a feeling, maybe even fears, that come to you instantly, and those are going to be based on subconscious beliefs that were formed before you started thinking about it much, by watching your mom and dad, your uncle and aunt, older brother, other people and their relationships. You formed subconscious beliefs about what your relationship was going to be, what you were going to experience. Consciously, you might be thinking, boy, I hope it's great. You know, I hope it's really loving and I hope my partner treats me well. But subconsciously, you had a belief that was either good or bad. And then you chose your partner based on that. And your subconscious mind made your subconscious beliefs, its beliefs about your role and you and what you're going to experience true in your physical realm. So you want to change that. All you have to do, and here we go right back to your intended message. What do you want your life to be like? All you have to do is flood your subconscious mind with feelings, not words, not thoughts, feelings that match the life you want. Okay, Jeff, George, how do I do that if my reality does not match what I'd like it to be? Okay, you can't look there. Obviously, you can't look at your reality if it's not good and get good feelings. So where do you look? Here is the main thing that I learned from Musa that changed my life. Each of us has a superpower. We were born with it. You were a born pro at doing this, and this is your ability to imagine and pretend. As a child, you could get lost in a make-believe world like nobody's business and stay there for hours at a time, and the other kids would join in. You could all just declare what game you're playing. I'm the king. Okay, well, I'm the queen, and this is my kingdom, and this is my castle. And in real life, that castle could be an old rundown shed on a crappy rental property that your parents are renting while they're building a home or while they're in between jobs. Who cares? You didn't care as a kid. Reality had nothing to do with this beautiful make-believe world that you could generate in your mind. And the other kids would join in and you'd have this great time together. And again, reality had nothing to do with it. This is where you're going to need some help. And I spend most of my time helping people make this jump. They can understand, all right, if I get lost in a beautiful daydream about having plenty of money, tons of money, I can feel what it would be like to have lots of money. And you're saying that my subconscious mind is hearing those feelings and believing them and then obeying them. Okay. But it's hard to stay in that because very quickly reality starts knocking. And I realize I don't have enough money in my bank account to cover all my bills and expenses. And I start feeling bad about money again. And if it's true, and I promise you it is, that your subconscious mind will keep your life congruent with your predominant feelings about any aspect of life, you better learn how to quit feeling bad about money and about health and fitness and about relationships, or you're doomed to stay in that situation that you don't like. It's not fun. So how do you get into make-believe, beautiful, imaginary scenarios and stay there? Look, people are always shocked when I tell them I go into what I'll call my magnificent obsession, my vision, chosen vision for who I am. And it goes against what I was told as a kid who I am. That has nothing to do with it. At some point, I decided who I'm going to be, what my life is going to be. And I built this beautiful vision of it, and I stay there. That movie of my perfect life is always running in the back of my mind. I'm always living in my dream world, my spirit realm. And I do not let reality get its grimy little jam fingers on my beautiful dreams. And don't be surprised by this. Every successful person does this. This is the technique they use to create their success. Michael Jordan, had an image of himself as the greatest basketball player to ever live. And I remember him talking about being a young man where he would, like, I don't know how old, but I picture like 8 or 9 years old, he would shoot the ball. And whether the ball went in or not, in his mind, it went in and it was the game-winning shot. And the crowd would jump up and cheer, and he just won the game. Again, no matter whether the ball in reality went in or didn't go in, he envisioned himself shooting the game-winning shot, and he's a superstar. That's how he saw himself always. The greatest basketball player to ever live, whether he won a game or lost the game, in real life had nothing to do with it. Okay, back to me. I'm a struggling concrete contractor. I could have lived on what I made, about $60,000 a year back then. But as long as not too many things went wrong, but George, as you know, things do go wrong. You start having kids. I had one child who cost $60,000 and I had no insurance. So there goes a whole year's worth of earnings just to pay that hospital bill. So I was drowning in debt, financial worry, concern, until I read Sultan Musa of Mali's second manuscript, or the manuscript of the second parchment. I should say it right. And I knew I had to change the way I felt about money to get a different financial situation to come to me. You can't figure everything out. You don't know enough. There's no way that if you were left to your own accord that you could just go find everything you need or make happen what you want to have happen. No, you need some miracles. You need the stars to align. And I promise you, you can get that to happen by telling your subconscious mind what to believe about you in the language of feelings. Now I'm really going to blow your mind. I hope this is okay, George. But it goes right back to your intended message. What do you want? What do you intend for your life? And how do you convey that message to the mechanism that is steering your life and controlling your life? Sultan Musa of Mali, after he had this near-death experience and went from being unbelievably poor to being very, very wealthy, and he wasn't just about money. This guy had the most beautiful marriage. He had he was just a generous guy. He was a born leader. He lifted the entire Mali kingdom out of poverty. And not just poverty, it was a warring kingdom, and he put a stop to all of that, and just everybody was unified, loved him. And by the way, this is before he became Sultan.
Mm.
He was had an unbelievable life. Well, he wanted everybody to know what he knew so that they could do what he did, and that is seize control of your life. And make it what you want it to be. Design it and then go live it. Well, this was the 1300s. You couldn't just come out one day and say, hey, I died yesterday, but then I came back to life. And by the way, I met God, who taught me all kinds of crazy things that our most learned scholars know nothing about. That's an easy way to get in a lot of trouble, maybe even killed. So he embedded the secrets into a fairy tale. Now, I don't know about you, but I've written some things. I wrote this book, The Sultan's Seven Secrets. I don't expect that 1,000 years from now, everybody has read it, everybody's familiar with it. But this fairy tale he wrote, almost everyone on earth is familiar with it. You're familiar with it. It's the tale of Aladdin and the magic lamp. Now, I'm going to go through the three main elements of this fairy tale he wrote. And by the way, Antoine Galland was 100% honest about this. He published the fairy tale in the 1600s, but he was honest. He said, I didn't write it. I just translated it from an Arabic text written by Sultan Musa of Mali. And by the way, he only published the fairy tale. He didn't publish that second parchment, which was the translation of the fairy tale and a complete lesson in how to speak the language of the gods. He was terrified of that part. He knew if he published that, it would ruin his career in government and academia. But don't judge him harshly. This was the 1600s. People were still put to death for the crime of heresy. And look, be honest, we have to be careful today. You can't just go say anything you want without getting in trouble. That's not how the world works. It really has never worked that way. There are powers that be, and you got to be careful how you interact. So he created this fairy tale because he was benevolent. He wanted to teach these principles to everybody. And he used the fairy tale as a segue. If anyone got mad at him or called him out or started to feel like they were going to get him in trouble, he could just say, hey, look, this is just my philosophy, and I use the fairy tale to teach you. Just chill out, you know, it's just a story. And that kept him alive. Let's go to the three main elements of that fairy tale, and I'm going to explain to you what they represent so that you can start speaking the language of the gods in a way that serves you better than you have been speaking about it, or speaking in it, I should say. So the first element of the story is the character Aladdin. Aladdin represents the conscious mind. It represents you. You're Aladdin. Now we have the all-powerful genie who can get you anything you want, if you know how to summon it, if you know how to command it. And well, we'll come to that part next. The inner genie, the genie represents your veiled mind. So each Aladdin, each one of us, has an inner genie who can get us anything we want if we command it in the right language. Well, here comes the best part of the story, right? The magic lamp. It changes everything for Aladdin, and it changed everything for Musa, and it changed everything for me. And I'm going to give you your magic lamp right now. The magic lamp represents a piece of knowledge, some understanding of what I've been talking about, the communication between the conscious and subconscious mind. In other words, how to summon your inner genie and how to command it in the only language it obeys. But it does obey it every time. And that's the language of feelings. Remember, in the fairy tale, the all-powerful genie only says two things. One is a question. What is wanted? What do you want? And the second thing is, your wish is my command. So keep this in mind. Your inner genie is always asking, what do you want? It's asking it right now. And then you're always answering in the language of feelings, to which it says, okay, your wish is my command. That's how I'll make it. Whatever you tell your genie in the language of feelings, it will believe, it will obey, in that it will make that true in your physical realm over time. Okay, let's come back to the last thing I want to share with you, and then we'll wrap it up. I'll tell you how to download my book absolutely free if you're interested in learning more about this, because you are going to need a little help. It goes counterintuitive to everything you've been taught, how life works. You know, you're supposed to get your head out of the clouds, right? Quit living in a fantasy world. get with the program. No. You've had enough reality. That has put you where you are, focusing on your problems and cares and worries of your reality. Your power is in your make-believe world. So I'm going to tell you the exact opposite of you need a dose of reality. What you need is a mega dose of make-believe. That's where your power is, because that's how you change how you feel. If you want to be in a beautiful relationship, you need to pretend, create in your imagination scenarios that match your idea of a beautiful relationship until you can see it in your mind's eye and feel it in your spirit. And once you're generating those feelings, you're literally saying to your subconscious mind, the mechanism that controls your life, hey, see these feelings? Go get me more of that. Bring things into my life that match these beautiful feelings about my relationship or about my career or about health and wealth. You see how simple this is? But we do the exact opposite. We fret and worry about our problems and about what could happen tomorrow, you know? What could go wrong? Just try forgetting about that and living in beautiful feelings about your life and see what happens. Now, George, help me here, because I said just a minute ago, I wanted to leave you with kind of the last thing. And then I got talking about, I can't remember exactly what I was going to talk about. Maybe we wrap it up at this point.
And Jeff, you mentioned your book. Let's tell people where they can find that.
So you can find my book on Amazon.com. It's a number one selling book. Or you can download the video book, which is me reading the book and telling the story. And I add a little bit here and there. And you can get that video book downloaded today absolutely free by going to sultans7secrets.com. That's sultans, the number seven, secrets.com. And you can be speaking the language of the gods in a positive way this afternoon, this evening, all day tomorrow. And if you do that, I promise you will see weird coincidences start popping up. Things that weren't happening a month ago, but they're happening now that you're speaking this language in a different way. And those things that happen, they'll be the low-hanging fruit first, but they'll build on themselves. They will match the feelings that you're generating on purpose in your imagination with intent. And when you realize that, you won't on the first one, maybe even the seventh or eighth one, but at some point you're going to be like, whoa, I'm doing that. I'm making those little things happen. And they match what I'm generating in terms of feelings on purpose with my imagination. And once you realize that, you'll realize what you've already suspected. And that is that you really are in control of your life. It's just you've been going about it a little bit bass-ackwards, if you will. But if you're not in control of your life, how could you possibly be responsible for it? But you are. You're going to be judged, but not in the way you learn in church. I mean, I'm just going to throw that out there. All experience is valuable, whether we call it good experience, good behavior, bad behavior. With every experience, there's both good and bad. If you had a great childhood, maybe you were a little softer than some of your counterparts who had a really tough childhood or had to work hard as kids. You know, they came out with some skills that you may not have and you may want to now try to get. But for everything good, there's a negative. And for everything negative, there's a positive. So all experience is the currency of eternity. So all experience is valuable. But we'd rather have lots of good experience, right? We want to enjoy plenty of money. Maybe we've already experienced lack of money. We know what that's all about. We've put that in the bank. Now we want to experience some fun things, some good things. And you have the ability and the authority to experience anything you want to. Start by experiencing that thing you want in the spirit realm, your beautiful dream world, imaginary scenarios that you can generate on your own. And as you wash those feelings over your veiled mind, it believes them. And then it's going to go create situations and circumstances in your physical realm that match those feelings. And that's how you control your life. Trying to control physical realities without controlling spiritual realities first is very frustrating, and it's ineffectual. Doesn't really work very well. Download the book. Learn how to speak the language of the gods in a way that matches the life you want and not the way you don't want it to be. And that's all there is to it. But there's some tricks, techniques, games, and hacks that you're going to need to learn, but I have them all. I've been doing this for 30 years. So, George, again, thank you for letting me come on Your Intended Message. It's right down my alley. I've been so excited about this and just really appreciate the work you're doing.
Mm. Jeff, as we get ready to wrap up, if there's one piece of advice for people who really want to get more control of their feelings and their imagination, but are stuck in logic mode, real world mode, how do they make that step? And is it a series of steps? And is it try one day, fail, try another day, fail, and then the third day, suddenly it works? What can they do? Because while we're trying to imagine things, there's the part of our brain saying, come on, George, get real. How do we get past that?
The get real is what I'm talking about. We've been told that forever, you know, get real. And what does real mean? They're talking about your physical world. Where you need to get real is seizing control of your spirit realm. And you are in control of that. That's your imagination. You can have it any way you want. You can be a 9-year-old who shoots the ball and misses by a foot, but imagines it going in, and you just won the game, the national championship, and the crowd goes wild, and you get lost in that scenario. And when you do, you will feel the feelings associated with that scenario. And guess who's listening to them and believing them? Okay, here's what I'm going to leave you with. Understand the way it works. Subconscious beliefs determine your life. They determine who you're going to marry, what you're going to do for a career, all based on what you believe subconsciously. Now I'm going to tell you how those are formed. And by the way, this thing that is out there where people say all of your subconscious beliefs were formed by the age of 7, nonsense. It's an absolute lie. Subconscious beliefs are formed right now. You might form one today. And as soon as you form a new subconscious belief, it simply paves over whatever old one was there, and you now have a new one from which your veiled mind is going to operate and keep your life congruent. So how are subconscious beliefs formed? Very simple. There's an event accompanied by strong emotion. If you were a little kid and you stood up to perform, either sing or recite something, and let's say that went bad, you forgot your lines and one of the other kids snickered, and worse, maybe an adult laughed in the audience, and you felt this fear come over you. And right in that moment, there's an event There's strong emotion, which in this case is failure, fear, negativity. You have a subconscious belief formed that says, basically, I'm not a performer, and I will never get up in front of a crowd. I will never give a talk. I will never try to sing in front of a group ever again. Okay, but let's say 20 years goes by, and you're fired up about something, but you think you're talking to one person, and you're giving your ideas in a very impassionate way, and all of a sudden you realize there's seven or eight other people behind you listening, and they all begin to clap and cheer, and they agree with you, or at least they like what you said. They like the way you put it. Well, now there's a new event with a new set of emotions, and these are more positive. These are more accepting. And now the old subconscious belief is paved over. And now you believe, you know what? I can give a talk. I can get in front of a crowd and express my opinion and be accepted and have that be a good thing. You can generate brand new subconscious beliefs right now, today, about anything in your life you want to change. Well, how do you do that? Because, you know, your reality is what it is. All right. Go to your subconscious mind and create the experience there. Something you want to experience, create it in your mind until you can see it and feel it. And as soon as you can feel it, you've achieved placebo. You have told your subconscious mind in the language it believes and obeys how you want your life to be. And it only says one thing after you do that. Your wish is my command, George. And off it goes to find, or I should say orchestrate, new situations into your life that match the feelings you're burying it in. And it's as simple as that. So do this. Get the book, but then learn to generate new subconscious beliefs that match the life you want. And just see what happens. I'm going to give you a little taste of what happened to me. I started doing this because I knew I had nothing to lose. My life was not happy. I didn't like it. I wasn't feeling good about just about anything in my life. And I decided to start speaking the language of the gods to the point where I basically went nuts. I was doing it all day long. Well, I went from being a $60,000 a year concrete guy to having, I was making a couple hundred grand a month. In fact, it became so much money was coming in from everywhere that I actually used the first three principles of the seven secrets to turn the tap down a little bit. It was just too overwhelming. I had to get it down to something that was more comfortable. But this is how serious this is. If you flood your subconscious mind with feelings, it will respond. It just will, and you can prove it to yourself. So that's what I ask you to do. Just put it, don't believe me, prove it to yourself. Try it out and see what happens, because you'll see the evidence, I promise.
Powerful advice. My guest today is Jeff Buhner, reminding you that you have a superpower. It's imagination and pretend.
If you like what you heard, tell your friends and post your 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, because that helps more listeners find us. Come back every week for more practical insights to help you deliver your intended message. I'm your host, George Torok.